This episode of The Podcats is sponsored by the O-Line Sports Grill at Hurstbourne and Westport Road. Make O-Line your home for Wildcat basketball when you can't be at the game. For a free appetizer, text O-Line to 72727.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Here's how you count to eight. 3, 2, 1. And for the eighth time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky. C-A-T-S. Champs, champs, champs.
Oh, it's a sea of blue. It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Oh my gosh, they're crazy. They're the most dedicated fans I've ever seen.
Going blue!
Big Blue Nation, show your Wildcat pride and band together with the Podcats. All the UK propaganda you can handle.
Welcome into another edition of the Podcats. I'm Kenny Colston. Alongside me, as always, is Chris Littrell. Chris, tell everyone hello.
Hello, everyone. Great to be here.
All right. Yeah, we're working on that. That's pretty good. We'd like to thank you guys for tuning in again this week. Shout out to O-Line Sports Grill. I think they liked having us last week. I haven't heard any negative feedback from that yet. But shout out to them for sponsoring our show. No one got slapped with a harassment lawsuit from a waitress or anything like that. So that's always good when you don't get one of those at a live taping. But shout out to O-Line Sports Grill for sponsoring us. If you don't subscribe to iTunes, to us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, what are you waiting for? We tell you pretty much every week. Stop being lazy and procrastinating. I know. Gosh, people. But, you know, talking about people, let's talk about our favorite people. This show is going to basically have a singular overall topic, and that's going to be the fate of this basketball team. It's pretty much been the topic for the last, I don't know, month, as they've gone high, low, and appear to be on a low that will not end. They got a win earlier in the week against Alabama, but the game against Florida, it's pretty much all you need to say. The game against Florida, it didn't go well. Didn't go well at all, Chris.
It was rough. It was pretty rough and pretty expected at this point.
Well, the optimist in me really thought this team might show some fight, and to some they did. For about 10 minutes, but I'm in a whole game of fight. I mean, I was expecting maybe a 5-point loss at Florida, and really closer than that. I say 5-point because Florida hits their free throws, so I figured Kentucky would be down by a couple points towards the end, and it would be a free throw battle, and Florida would pull out and, you know, kind of keep it unreachable that way. But not 19 points, not 20 points. I didn't see that coming. Let me rephrase that. I saw that coming and refused to believe it. I think a lot of fans are trying to believe Cal when he says the light will come on to this team. I'm just waiting. It's all there. I don't know that it will, though, Chris. How do you feel about yesterday's game and this team now? If you lose, technically, if they lose in the SEC tournament, they won't go home. But it's pretty much lose or go home at this point.
If the light hasn't come on by now, it's not going to. I think I personally have felt that way for probably the last, at least since the conference schedule started. Yesterday's game, pretty much they followed the script that they've been going by all year. They start slow, get themselves in a hole, show a little resilience, fight back, play to the talent that they're facing, and usually this team has fought back all year because they have had a horrible habit of starting so slow and getting down by 6, 8, 10 points. But for this to happen at the end of the year, for them to just get blown out, that's kind of what you expect to happen to a team, a freshman dominated team earlier in the season, not the last game of the regular season. Now I keep reminding myself, hey, this is against the number one team in the country. We're on the road. Florida would have beat the vast majority of the teams in the top 25 yesterday, more than likely.
Yeah, I mean, they had a great game. I don't know that anybody could have beat Florida yesterday. They were hitting everything. They were senior night, four seniors. I mean...
True. I mean, it was a perfect storm kind of scenario for Kentucky to have to go down there and play that team. That particular team's last game, you know, at home. These guys have gone to three straight Elite Eights. I mean, this is, you know, there's going to be a big push by this Florida team. So, yeah, tough to go down there last game of the regular season. Emotional night for Florida. But still, just played, you know, bad enough and lackadaisical enough for them to basically, you know, run us off the court.
Yeah, I mean, they did make a run in the second half, got it down to like 6 points with eight minutes to go, I think, somewhere around there, you know, middle of the game. Furious, furious comeback, largely because of Julius Randle. Florida came out in the second half, started playing us man, which almost no team does. And you saw why. I mean, we just started taking it. Randle was basically... at some points was basically telling the guards, give me the ball, and if they wouldn't pass it to him in the post, he literally came up and got the ball at the key and just drove and would spin and hit a layup sometimes to get fouled, you know. So,
which is ridiculous that he has to demand the ball, you know, at that point.
Right, yeah. I mean,
we can't come out and recognize that, and he has to more or less take the ball from our guards.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty much. He would come to the top of the key and just stand there with his hands out, and it was like, you're either going to give me the ball or I'm going to take it from you. So, you know, it was comeback fueled by Randle, but it just it's like what you said. I was watching with my friends, you know, we were all getting excited, and you know, they were all like, all right, here we come, and I'm like, no, I don't see this yet. You know,
yeah.
I've seen how this plays out before. There's way too much time. I've seen how this team handles this to say that they're going to complete this comeback. And sure enough, you know, Florida withstood the run and then started, you know, hit a dagger three there, I think to put it back at like 9 or 11 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that, they, you know, the wind went out of their sails. It's just, I don't know that this team will put it together. This is a very talented group of individuals, and I struggle to say that because I know of at least two guys that I would say are very talented, and that's James Young and Julius Randle. I know at least four guys that should be talented, but haven't translated that yet. And that's the Harrison twins, Willie Cauley-Stein, and Alex Poitras. So I just don't think this group of individuals will ever become a team. And to win in college basketball, you have to be a team. If this was an AAU team where it's like, wins and losses don't really care and everybody's just coming out to get theirs and fouls are loosely called, you know, this team would be dominant. It probably would have gone 40-0. But these guys, as a whole, have not kind of figured out how to play the college game, you know? And there's some unfairness to the college game, and unfair may be the wrong word, but let's be honest. No one's going to play zone in the NBA. So Julius Randle getting bottled up and triple teamed, this is the only time it's going to happen in his life that it matters. I'm sure it happened in high school and it didn't matter because he's a beast. But, you know, they're not going to do that in the NBA. James Young isn't going to have the type of zone that they've been putting on. You're not going to deal with that. So it's a little bit different. Maybe it's a little unfair. You know, last year I thought Archie Goodwin should definitely stay for his sophomore season, and he's not doing bad in the pros. So
right. It's
not saying these guys won't be good pros, but right now they're not a good team. They are not a cohesive team, and I don't think if you haven't put it together in 30 games by now, then you're not going to. You know, I know Cal's like, but what else is Cal supposed to say? No, this team's never going to put it together. We shouldn't even play. Like, we're not even going to show up. No, he can't say that. That's not
right. Yeah, he's got a job to do.
Right, he's got a job to do. They pay him to try to get this team. So he's going to say, yeah, we're just waiting for that light to click on. But I bet you in reality, if he ever wrote a memoir, this year would go down as, yeah, it was never going to happen this year. Never going
to
happen.
Oh, he can't wait. He can't wait for this season to be over. There is no doubt.
Well, what are you going to do? Because the large majority of this team is going to come back. The large majority, it's not going to be a mass exodus like last year's team. I don't think. I mean, some of these kids are going to stay. You can't send all of them. I mean, sure, Randle will be gone. James Young will be gone. You kind of want those two to stay, but they won't. They don't need to. Willie apparently will be gone. He's a first-round pick.
Bye. Goodbye.
He's regressed. And you have if Willie doesn't leave, then you have a long jam because you have Willie, you have Dakari, Marcus Lee, and then you got Carl Towns coming in, which means someone's going to transfer. And honestly, at this point, I would hate to see Dakari or Marcus Lee transfer for playing time when I think those guys will be solid guys by the end of their careers. Now, I don't know if Dakari will play two, three, four years at Kentucky. Clearly not one. I'd be shocked unless he transfers. You know, Marcus Lee could be a dominant guy, you know, by the time he comes around. And so it'd be a shame for the Willie Project to, you know, screw that up. That's just my thought. But yeah, I mean, the Twins, I would think, are coming back. I don't see them on anybody's draft board, even in the second round. I mean,
I'll tell you, I mean, do you want them back at this point? I mean, we could do a whole show on this.
I don't know.
Do you really want them back?
I don't know, because I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know enough about the guys coming in, like Lyles and Euless. You know, Hawkins, apparently, we haven't seen much of him, so I don't know where he's at on his – so I don't know. You know, this whole I would like to see a Calipari – point guard have 2 years in the system, to be honest with you. Maybe it'd be a turnaround. I don't know. I have no idea.
Just the thing that I'm afraid of with them, and I mean, I think I've made it pretty clear all year long that I'm not the biggest fan of the Harrison twins, but you know, you look at a guy like Alex Poythress, who last year, you know, was a disappointment. He comes back this year. You kind of see the same thing from him. I mean, he did put it together. He's had some decent games. You know, the minutes that he gets per game, if he's out there 15 minutes, Alex Poythress will get you 6 points and 4 rebounds. But I just haven't seen that leap forward, like where coming back for years made this huge difference in Alex Poythress's game or his attitude or whatever. And I'm just afraid that you're going to see the same thing with the Harrison twins. Like, if they come back, everybody's going to be like, well, we need that experience and all this and that. But, you know, I just see them coming back, and next year it's going to be the same thing with just a cast of new, inexperienced players around them. And they're just going to, like, take it to the rim every time. And it's going to be the same exact thing unless the coach can corral that crap.
O-Line Grill is Wildcat Central for UK basketball games on TV. Grab your friends and get to O-Line to grab a bucket of domestic beers for $9 or other game time specials like 24 wings and 2 domestic buckets for just $30. If craft beer is your thing, O-Line has several taps too. Support the podcasts and text O-Line to 72727 for a free appetizer. The O-Line Grill at Hurstbourne and Westport in Louisville's East End on the front line of UK sports.
Well, there's no telling. So, yeah, there's absolutely – we have no way of knowing. I mean, that's –
True. I'm just, you know.
But, yeah, I share your concerns. Absolutely I share your concerns because, you know, I just – you look at their body language and I almost hate to bring this up, but I do because about the twins. And someone at the bar I was at the other day brought this up that, you know, most of Calipari's point guards – most of Calipari's teams, even dating back to the UMass years, the real stars, you know, they weren't. God, how can I get into this without sounding completely classless? Let's just say that they weren't the most affluent kids. I mean, most of Calipari's stars were not the most affluent kids.
Your Joey Dorseys,
right? John Wall. Even look at at the UK years. John Wall, Eric Bledsoe. DeMarcus Cousins. Yeah, those guys, we'll just say they're not affluent. That doesn't say anything. It's not their fault. They weren't affluent. And even Teague to a degree, you know, I don't think Teague came from a really poverty.
Vanderbilt wasn't offering scholarships.
Right. Let's just put it that way. It has nothing to do with grades. It's I'm talking socioeconomic.
I got you.
The guy put it is you're familiar with like Iroquois Park here in South Louisville, right? Or Wyandotte Park, maybe some of these metro parks that turns the south and west of the county.
Yeah.
You at least know of them. So the point that was made was This guy doesn't think that the Harrison Twins ever played a pickup game of basketball on a playground where, you know, you drive to the hole and you know your ass is going to get fouled. There's no question about
right.
it, but you have to finish. And so, you know, John Wall played some games on the playground and got fouled. You know, Teague and Brandon Knight, you know, these guys got outside the gym, so to speak, outside the AAU circuit and took some bumps, you know. And his point was, is that, you know, the Harrisons, I think, are a strong upper middle class family. And I don't know, maybe this has nothing to do with it. And I'm off base completely. I don't know. I don't want to judge too hard into this. But the point the guy made, and of course, we don't know the Harrison twins, is that the guy wondered if they had ever played a pickup game of basketball on the playground, you know,
right,
five
like
on five.
If they'd ever been pushed down, challenged, had their knees scraped up.
Right.
And had to take up for them.
Right, and had to finish on the playground, because you don't call a foul on the playground. I mean, you don't. If you call a foul on the playground, trust me, your ass will get fouled for sure the rest of the game. So you don't.
Yeah,
you don't
call your own fouls.
Right. Well, you're supposed to call your own fouls, and no one calls a foul
against you when you get fouled. That's what I meant.
Right. Yeah. I mean, anytime you get called a foul, it's because you're laid out prone because someone just tackled you, and usually someone else on the other team's like, okay, that's a foul, you know. But no, you're not calling fouls. And the way that they drive, the way they use this dribble drive offense, the Twins, they drive, and if they do not get a foul call, it is a wasted opportunity.
Absolutely.
It has been a wasted opportunity all season. If they do not get a foul call or if they do not get a lane to the basket, you cannot count on anything. And we saw that repeatedly yesterday. We've seen that for weeks now. I don't think that's the dribble drive offense. I mean, yes, driving to the hole is, but you have to finish. Brandon Knight finished. John Wall finished. Marcus Teague finished. Hell, even Ryan Harrow and all the crap that he went through last year, at times, finished. You know, the complaint against Archie is that he didn't finish last year. And so the Twins don't finish. I don't know. You can't instill toughness in a kid. You just can't. I mean, you can try. But just, I don't know that the Twins want it. Maybe they don't need it. I just don't see that fire in the belly that you get from kids that know that this is their one opportunity in life. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there was no chance John Wall was going to fail, because if he failed, guess where he was going back to?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's going back to Raleigh.
And not the nice part.
Yeah, he's banging chicks in in deserted houses for the rest of his life.
So, you know.
But yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. I mean, they've hijacked the dribble drive for one thing. I mean, for about the last 2 months, I've started to wonder if this team's offensive strategy is not just let the Harrisons drive to the hoop, hope they get fouled, and if we're lucky, they'll make one of their free throws. I mean, I've really thought, is that just.
That's the zone
what
offense.
Our offense is these days.
That's
yeah.
what the zone
I mean,
offense
it, it
is.
It literally is. But you're right. I mean, I agree with you. These guys might be just a little too soft. And, you know, one thing I thought about when you were making that point that's come up recently, and I'm just going to touch on it real quick and just kind of, you know, use this to compare, is, you know, the whole Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito
mm-hmm.
thing. Jonathan Martin went to Stanford, and suddenly he, you know, he gets drafted into the pros, and now he's on a team with a bunch of guys who aren't from Stanford, but now he's on a team with a bunch of guys who are from LSU and Nebraska and Alabama and Southern Cal and Florida. And another pro made this point when that whole thing was really going on. He said that, you know, a lot of times the Stanford guys just can't get along in the locker room with everybody else because they're the Stanford guys, and they have a hard time relating to an LSU guy. And it's all about the Stanford guy's upbringing and background and, you know, the environment that he's lived his entire life in. Suddenly you're put in a different environment, maybe a little harder, and you can't cope with it. And, you know, that's kind of what you're saying with the Harrisons, is all their life they've been, you know, pampered and they've just more or less been turned into prima donnas, and they've never really had to go out there and defend themselves or be pushed, stand up for themselves. And now in college, for the first time, you know, they're finding themselves in that situation, and it's, you know, it's obviously, it's been hard for them to deal with it.
Right. And of course, I don't think we want to condone any racism or bullying, you know, with that Dolphin scandal. I don't want anybody to think that.
No, not at all. But it's just.
But locker rooms are tough. It's locker rooms are tough. Maybe they're not that tough. But you know what I'm. You know what I'm saying. I get exactly what your point is there. And I'm curious. You know, in the back of the Harrison's minds, is there a backup plan? You know, maybe they can go into the military like their father or do something else. You know, they make decent grades.
That would be the most unbelievable turn of events of all time.
Well, I'm just
go to the Army.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, is the, in the back of their mind, is there like, hey, if basketball doesn't work out, there's a backup plan, you know, because I think you need to have that drive in your belly that says I have no backup plan. You know, if you really want to make it, especially at Kentucky, there's no backup plan. Now, if you're Jared Polson, yeah, you better have a backup plan. But I think he knew. You know, he knows. If you're John Hood, yeah. But if you're a top-ranked recruit, there's no backup plan. You know, you put everything into it. And maybe we've absolutely, completely misjudged the Harrison twins. Maybe. I don't know them intimately. We're not best friends, unfortunately. Well, actually, I don't think I would want to be best friends the way they're playing. But, you know... So I don't know. What I would love to see, what I'd absolutely love to see, and of course I'm not the coach and I'm not affiliated with the team, so I can say this, is for them to go out and play some pickup games. You know, get some bumps and bruises. You know, get out of the gym, so to speak. Because ain't no one going to hurt you in the gym. Ain't nobody going to hurt you. No one's going to foul you. And if they do, then you can just get in the, you know, you can get in the hot tub or the, you know, have an ice bath and you're taken care of. No, go to the streets and play, you know. Go to the streets, get fouled a little bit, toughen up. And I wonder if this, you know, Willie, I wonder if this is the same with Willie. Willie played tennis in high school. Tennis.
Yeah, that's in Olathe, Kansas. I mean, what's the competition like out there?
Right. Well, and tennis is a finesse sport. That is no disrespect. Mm. If you're good at tennis, you're good. Roger Federer, Andy Murray, all those guys, they're good. I'm not saying that
Sure.
But that's a finesse sport. You know what I'm saying? It's not. And he played football, but he played wide receiver. You know what I'm saying? He's not in the. It's not like he played linebacker or running back. He wasn't getting hit that much, and so it's just kind of like I don't think these guys have the internal toughness. There's not the Davis or especially the kid Gilchrist. And I'm just waiting for somebody on this team. We've talked about this before. I want somebody on this team to pull out a knife in a game. That's what I want to see. That's a little obscene. Yeah. I know that, but that's a little. But you get what I'm saying. Figuratively, you know what I'm saying? Get in someone's face. Like, you know, I remember at that Arkansas game when the fan stepped to one of the twins. I don't remember which one. And everyone was like, oh, yeah, Harrison would have beat him up. I'm like, I'm not so sure because that guy looked like he was ready to throw down. That guy looked like he was ready to die tonight if he had to.
And that might have been the first time that he had ever had someone
step to him?
Yeah.
I think it was. I mean, I can't
absolutely.
Say that, you know, this is a, you know, the twins, they graduated from a public high school, but they went to, no, a private high school. They went to public school for 1 year, I think their sophomore or junior year, and then came back to their private high school.
Right. So, yeah, that says a lot. I mean, it says a lot.
Yeah, it says a whole lot. And so you can't instill that toughness, and that's why I've given up on this year's team. That is why I don't think a light will turn on, because you can't instill that type of toughness as a coach or a player. What's Cal going to do? Get all up in their face? Well, that's not the same. You know what I'm saying? Someone's got to challenge them. They need to go play pickup games in the Johnson Center and let some guy who played high school, who probably could have played Division II or Division III, get all up in their grill and say, you know what? I don't even know why you're on the damn team, because I'm better than you. I'm schooling you at the UK Student Gym, the Johnson Center. Like, get out of here. That's what he needs. That's what they both need. That's what most everyone on the team needs, except Randall. I ain't worried about him. He looks pretty tough. I think he could handle himself. But the rest of them, they can't take a bump. They're scared.
You know what would help in that aspect quite a bit this year is if maybe on this team there were a couple veteran guards or maybe a veteran big man who'd been through the wars of a couple college basketball seasons and had that toughness, whether he brought it with him or developed it while he was here. Maybe two or three guys on this team that at practice every day take the Harrison twins behind the woodshed or take Willie behind the woodshed. But that's this team's problem. There are a bunch of 18-year-old guys. They were all playing high school basketball next year. There's no one on this team. Alex Boythress, you know, I'm talking to you. There's no one on this team that has been able just to whip these guys' ass like they've needed, like what we're talking about right now. I mean, that is what our conversation that we're having right now is a product of this one and done. where every year you've got a bunch of young. These guys are kids, and you know.
Well, I mean, that's the point. We've been spoiled too. I mean, the first three seasons were good, and so it's a little out of the norm. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I don't blame Calipari fully for the one and done. It's not his rule. He's just playing within the system. I mean, do we not want to take the best kids every year? Would we rather them play for Louisville, Kansas, Duke? I'd rather have the best kids every year. But yeah, unfortunately, I mean, the way the system is, it depletes you.
And that's fine. You know, again, I don't have a problem with it either. I mean, he is using the rules, you know, to his advantage, or that's what he has been doing. But now it's critical at this point that he realizes that it needs to be adjusted. I mean, I think everyone who has watched this team all year or last year's team realizes that there's some problems with the way he's running this program. It can be fixed. So, I mean, we've just reached that critical junction now where he, and I'm talking about Coach Calipari, needs to realize that you just can't rely on a bunch of freshmen every year. So, it can be fixed, but I mean, we've reached the time where it's time to fix it. Everybody can see it. So now is the time where we'll see where this program's going to go.
Well, and I think it'll take a year or two to really see that. I mean, you look at this last class, Derek Willis, Dominique Hawkins, Marcus Lee, clearly those guys are not going anywhere anytime fast because they can't even get off the bench unless they transfer. Right. So, you know, I don't think he expected Wilcher to leave. Not that Wilcher is tough or would instill anything.
I don't think he would have made a damn bit of difference on this team at all.
Probably would have just sunken them to new lows, to be honest with you.
Our defense would have been worse, basically.
And I didn't think that could be the case. But, yeah, you know, Cal's advocated for a two-year system. We would be great. I mean, to think about it, Anthony Davis would be a junior this year. We probably wouldn't have him under a two-year system. But, you know, you wouldn't have had last year. Noel would have been around. You know, it would have been better. But I think Cal's starting to learn, I've got to build up some other guys. And historically, he hasn't had that turnover. I think he just had some three really successful years, and the bottom just dropped out is basically what happened, and now we're rebuilding. I want to talk briefly about – I want to look ahead because we're in March, and it's basically win or go home. The first opportunity that Kentucky will play Friday, I think 7 o'clock, the two seed, miraculously, even though dropping three of the last four, still the two seed in the SEC, thanks to beating Georgia.
How horrible the SEC is.
Right. But the funny thing is that their second round matchup will likely be, it will either be Alabama or LSU, and that's not a good sign for this Kentucky team. I mean, of all the teams that you wish to slot in there, it'd almost be better to have the three seed because that is, you know, you would either have Georgia, Georgia is the three seed, so you would either have Ole Miss, Vanderbilt, or Mississippi State, because Kentucky just has struggled mightily against LSU, should be 0-2 against them. And, you know, didn't play well against Alabama either. So I don't know that this team can win a game in the SEC tournament the way that the draw is currently. If they can beat LSU or Alabama, it should be an easy road to the championship game where they will likely face probably Florida. And if not Florida, I would guess Tennessee because Tennessee has been playing strong.
Just destroyed Missouri yesterday.
Right. And so, you know, the top half of the bracket, sans Florida, but playing Tennessee would be tough for Kentucky. So it's not an easy draw. You've got some physical teams in this SEC that know they can push the Cats around. I don't foresee, maybe if they draw Alabama. If Alabama can beat LSU, which is totally likely, I think Alabama's the 7 seed, LSU's the 11 seed, maybe Kentucky can get to the championship game, which I think they need to for seeding. I mean, maybe they're already locked in, but to where, you know, they're going to be. But for seeding and the opportunity to get a win over a Florida team or another team, but it looks tough. If it's LSU, I'm not going to predict a win. And we won't know until Thursday night. But if it's LSU right now, I'm telling you, we will not win that game. We will not win that game. Alabama, maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
The mental makeup of this team right now is what I wonder about the most. Like, these these guys can see the light at the end of the tunnel with this season. I mean, these guys are young; they're 18-year-old kids. You know, I mean, I can remember playing sports, obviously not anywhere close to this level, but you're having a crappy season, and you want nothing more than for it to just be over. So, you know, I just wonder if these kids are even – if we're even going to see 100% out of them at this point. They know that they are so close to maybe not having to hear, you know, all this crap. A lot of them can – you know, play this game, get another month or two, and they can go home. I mean, wouldn't be surprised if Julius Randle maybe has three or four more nights in the Wildcat Lodge before he's, you know, gone back to Texas or something like that. So I don't know what we're going to see out of these guys. I honestly wonder if that Alabama might have been their last win of the season. I mean, I really, really think that.
I don't think that's out of the question unless they turn the lights on. And I know, you know, part of me is like Cal, you know, I can see the potential, but I don't think they can do it at this point. The other thing I want to bring up is the current bracketology. We talked about this for a few weeks. Currently slotted as a 7 seed playing Oregon in Raleigh. Is that
in
correct?
Raleigh.
In Raleigh. Oregon would be a 10 seed. I don't think they're a bad Pac-12 team. I think they're about the same as us, about 22-8, 22-9. Oregon pretty similar. And then the second round would probably be a matchup with the 2 seed Virginia, which Virginia does not scare me at all. If Kentucky was firing on all cylinders, this would be in the South bracket. And we use Joe Lenardi's at ESPN because he typically tends to be the best in terms of nailing seeding and even which pods they're going to be in. He's got a pretty good record. And so the number one seed in that would be Florida, and the regional would be in Memphis. I don't think we need to talk about whether or not we could get to Memphis or not. We should be able to. But the way this team is playing, could they even make it out of the second round? I mean, the first round.
Oregon, I've not watched an Oregon game this year. I have seen them play, you know, a couple times, flipping through the channels, because I remember that ridiculous floor they have at their gym. I don't know if you've seen that or not. It looks like the shadows of a bunch of
trees. I saw that yesterday.
It's hippie bull crap. Anyway, you know, I don't know enough about that team to even make a call. Is that Dana Altman out there now at Oregon?
I
see their coach, the former Creighton guy. They've kind of flown under the radar. A lot of those Pac-10 schools are, you know, like you were saying, about the same record as us, but you just don't really get to see them very much, you know, where we're at, unless you want to stay up till 11 o'clock or midnight. So I don't know, but yeah, if you're asking me straight up, Can Oregon beat Kentucky? Hell yeah. They beat them by 20. I mean, that's how I feel at this point.
Well, it's definitely interesting. I think in terms of seeding wise, Kentucky probably needs to get a win over, they probably need to win the SEC championship.
I was going to say at least two.
Right. You've got to get to
wins.
The championship game and hope some other teams that are considered better than you lose out early in their tournament to jump up to that 6 seed, which I think is a safer draw. Not looking at Lenardi's, just in general, you don't have to play a 2 seed in the second round. You play a 3 seed, and that's generally a team that you can handle. But at the same time, you know, the best thing for Kentucky may be, I could only imagine if they had to play a mid-major school with a chip on their shoulder. I mean, they would absolutely not rise to that occasion. So playing another major conference team may actually help Kentucky. Because I tell you what, if they had to play like a St. Joe's or an Xavier or a Georgetown or something like that, even though Georgetown is a historically good program, playing someone from the A-10 or the Big East or something like that.
Yeah, like just, a VCU or something like
right,
that.
Right, we'd wipe the floor because our team would not take them seriously, and they would come out just – it would be a massacre. So,
it'd be the biggest game that those kids ever played in their life. Yeah,
Their Super Bowl. So it's tough at this point of the year because there's talent on this team. There's talent, but it's not team talent. You know, Florida's team talent, and I know I'm in the minority here. I still don't know that Florida makes it to the Final Four. The only redeeming quality Florida has to me is that they don't rattle. But they're not right. athletically superior to anybody. They're not athletically superior to anybody. I mean, you're not.
Yeah, you're right. But, you know, one thing that as I watched the game, yesterday's game, I like this Florida team. I mean, I finally came to that conclusion with this game as I'm watching them just dismantle my favorite team. But I really like this Florida team. I like the fact that they're a senior-driven team. They have two or three kids that can come off the bench. They're balanced. I mean, they've got everything you need in the point guard, the shooting guard. They got the big guys. I mean, I like this team. I can see myself maybe rooting for Florida this year.
Oh, don't even say it. As soon as Kentucky loses, I'm rooting for Wichita State. That's my team.
Yeah, well, I mean, that would be wonderful too. I mean, I would love to see them make another run. I think it could get extremely interesting. You know, if Wichita does start getting deep into the tournament, I think we've talked about that on a previous show. But realistically, do I think Wichita State is going to win national championship? No. Do I think Florida has a realistic shot? Yeah, I think they do. And I mean, you know, who am I going to root for besides Florida? I mean, Arizona, Kansas, Duke, hell no. I mean, bring it home, bring it back home to the SEC, you know.
Right.
Well, that would at least allow us to talk a little smack.
Right. Yeah, I can understand that. If Florida gets there, I will probably cheer for them. But in terms of, you know, straight rooting interest at the start of the tournament, it's definitely going to be Wichita for me. But is there anything else you want to bring up before we wrap up this show this week?
It's hard to believe the regular season's over. I mean, I was thinking about that this morning. It goes by pretty quick. I mean, it's a great time of the year. You know, conference tournaments are fun. Selection Sunday's fun. And I mean, it's going to be over in, you know, a month. So it's been a bumpy road. It's been a long, long bumpy road, football and basketball this year. But, you know, it's still been fun. It's fun every year. And you can still hold out hope at this point. Everyone's 0-0 when the tournament starts. Anything can happen. Everyone's seen upsets, you know, year after year. So, you know, we'll see what happens. It's not looking good, but, you know, hope for the best.
That's all we can do. We'll end this as we always do. Go Cats.